Kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of blessings. As Jesus ushered in the kingdom of heaven, it was imperative that his followers correctly cultivate the ability to receive and recognize God's blessing in their lives. The beauty of the Beatitudes is that in 8 simple statements, Jesus shares gifts or blessings that help us to see or experience how blessed we are to be in the kingdom of heaven. In this series, we're going to be looking at 4 elements that are found in each beatitude: a behavior pattern, a character trait, a mindset, and a kingdom promise. All of these elements are gifts. They are blessings. And these gifts or blessings, they help us to be able to receive and recognize other blessings that we have in the kingdom of heaven. We are blessed because we are part of his kingdom. And as kingdom members, we should constantly see and experience God's blessing in our lives. Blessed or blessed, as we are more familiar with hearing it in the Beatitudes. Number 3, blessed or blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We're going to start this morning with the kingdom mindset, and this is going to be a big chunk, but don't get too nervous. We're going to spend some time breaking this down, and this is going to help bring some volume to the other ones that we won't spend as much time on. So let's write this down, and then we'll break it down. The kingdom mindset this morning from this little beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, is that the kingdom mindset is an inner strength of selflessness afforded by a complete confidence in God. An inner strength of selflessness that is afforded by a complete confidence in God. So let's break this down. Now, first of all, I want to go to Merriam-Webster, which I disagree with pretty strongly on this one. I don't know. I don't want to get into so much of that, but it just seems like some of these tools that have been very neutral for so many, here's a definition. It seems the definitions are kind of changing a little bit and moving and whatnot. I don't know if you've noticed that, but this one especially, I was like, my goodness, I mean, Christians, church people, Jesus' followers, disciples, we are to be known for our meekness. I thought it was interesting how they define meekness. Merriam-Webster, the first definition was enduring injury with patience and without resentment. That's not bad. That sounds all right. But then the example they give is a meek child dominated by his brothers. That's not what meekness is. The second one defines, it says meekness is submissive. Okay, yeah, I can get that from a biblical understanding of submissive. But here's how they define submissive in the definition of meekness: deficient in spirit and courage. No. The third one, not violent or strong. Let me assure you that biblical meekness is not weakness. There is a strength accompanied by meekness. It's not being overly passive or getting dominated by your brothers as a small child. It's not that at all. It's not the absence of the absence of violence, rather. They got that part right, but it's not the absence of strength, as Merriam-Webster so defined. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Meekness is strength. It's the presence of strength. Take Jesus' life, and even just his crucifixion, for example. If he is an example of meekness for us, in Jesus' crucifixion, that was not the result of him being dominated by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the high priest, the teachers of the law. Jesus didn't submit to them in Merriam-Webster's definition of submission here, where he was dominated by them. He didn't answer to them. He wasn't deficient in spirit or deficient in courage or strength, as Merriam-Webster would define meekness. He wasn't lacking in these things. His crucifixion wasn't a result of Jesus being overpowered by the Roman government or the Roman officials or Roman soldiers. He wasn't overtaken. He laid his life down. He was in full control. He was submissive to our Father in heaven, but not to the religious authorities, not to the political powers that surrounded him. So to biblically define meekness as the absence of strength or courage would not be accurate at all. Or to define it as being dominated or overpowered by the powers that be, that's not it. If that were the biblical definition of meekness, if it matched with what Merriam-Webster defines as meekness, then Jesus would have been a huge hypocrite. He'd have been telling you, here, you go and you become doormats for everyone, but I'm not going to live that way. Jesus was never a doormat. Here, you go and you live a life absence of strength and courage, but the example I'm going to give is a life full of strength and courage. That's not at all what Jesus does in anything. He doesn't ask us to do something and give us a completely different example. He asks us to do something and then he gives us an example. Here's exactly what I want you to look like. So yeah, I had to get on a soapbox a bit. So I was kind of bothered by that definition of meekness. I've heard biblical meekness as described as controlled strength. I think that's a good definition. Meekness is not the absence of strength, but it is the presence of strength. In fact, it is an inner strength that is connected to selflessness. In James chapter 3, James talks about both sides of this. He starts by talking about selfish ambition, and then he talks about selflessness, not saying selflessness by word, but simply by just an alternate. Here is selfish ambition, and here's what it looks like on the other side of the tracks. So let's read this. James chapter 3, he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, their deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder in every evil practice." Then James gives the other, and we know this because he uses this very powerful word in Scripture, this little three-letter word that would be on the next slide then. But, I love that word. I've shared that with you before. But, here's the other side. Here's what the opposite of selfish ambition and the opposite of envy looks like. He says, "But the wisdom that comes down from heaven, or comes from heaven, is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive," biblically submissive, not Merriam-Webster's definition of submissive, "laying down, not being overpowered, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Now, this verse does mention peacemakers, and I'll assure you we will be talking about peacemakers in the next few weeks, as that is one of the eight Beatitudes. But in this list of behaviors and character traits, that they're listed as opposites of selfishness. So these character traits are character traits that are character traits of selflessness, opposites of envy and selfish ambition. And this is a good picture of what the mindset of kingdom meekness is: to be peace-loving, to be considerate, to be submissive, laying down willingly, to be full of mercy and good fruit, to be impartial and sincere. And I will assure you that that level of selflessness can only come from an inner strength that is afforded by a confidence in your relationship with God. That's where those qualities come from. For a Christian, for sure. In Matthew's gospel, we read of a time when James and John's mother, the sons of Zebedee, she comes up to Jesus and she humbles herself before him, and she asks a request of Jesus. She said, "My two sons, can one of them sit at your right hand and the other one at your left in your kingdom? Well, Jesus tells her that she doesn't know what she's talking about. I mean, first of all, it's yet to be revealed what a disciple is going to go through and what it means to really follow Jesus and drink from his cup. Second, he says it's up to the Father who takes those two places. It's not up to me. Well, when the other 10 disciples heard this request, we're told in Scripture they were indignant. They were frustrated. They were angry. And so they start up a little bit. And so Jesus calls them together for a teaching moment. And we read these words. Jesus says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you." When everyone say those four words with me, you ready? Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, the world's philosophy of the path of leadership and influence is traversed through the gain of power, through asserting dominance, through earning a prestigious position, through getting a corner office with your name on the door and some advanced degree that adds letters to the beginning or to the end of your name. Jesus says, not so with you. Not so with you. This is how the world sees leadership. This is how the world sees influence. Not so with you. Instead, Jesus says that his leaders must be servants. That's what kingdom leaders look like. Kingdom leaders are meek. They're meek. Peter echoes Jesus' message to the leaders of the church. In 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings," a lot of S's there, "who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those," see those words just echoed straight out of that passage, "not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. This is how members of Jesus' kingdom lead. They lead through meekness. The meek exhibit the fruit of the Spirit listed by Paul in Galatians chapter 5. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I'm never going to be able to do forbearance there. I see how some of you, when you grow up with certain translations and whatnot, it gets stuck in your head that this is the way it is. I always love, joy, peace, patience. And when I'm reading it, I get to forbearance. I'm just like, I just get tripped up. So love, joy, peace, patience, forgiveness, forbearance. There, I did it. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Meekness would easily be described as many of these elements of the fruit of the Spirit. A meek person is peaceful. A meek person is patient. A meek person is kind. They are good. But I'm just going to keep it to the last two listed here. So today, instead of having a singular character trait, we're going to look at two character traits put together here that go into meekness. And that is gentleness and self-control, those last two. So let's go and write that down. The character traits this morning that go along with meekness, blessed are the meek, are gentleness and self-control. A meek person will be gentle. They will not treat others the way a tyrant would. Someone who is bent on authority, bent on supremacy. No, kingdom members will be meek. They will be gentle. That is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Let me assure you, it takes great strength to be gentle, to truly be gentle. I wish you were just a little more skilled. I'd love to have been able to come up here with a stack of five blocks and say, I'm just going to break the first three. Because I can break five, but that would be meekness, wouldn't it? That's controlled strength. To be able to use just the right amount, just the correct amount of power, no more, no less. And that's gentleness, and that takes a great deal of strength to be gentle. The meek will have self-control. It's easy to just get loud and assert your dominance, but to influence the way Jesus expects his followers to impact others takes a great deal of self-control. They will lead by example. And these qualities are 100% in step with the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, to be gentleness. That's to be in step with the Spirit. That's not an oddity. It shouldn't be an oddity for God's people. We should all be gentle, regardless of what your personality is. Well, it's not my personality. Well, tough. It's the personality of God's Spirit who's in you, so you should be gentle. You should have self-control, every single one of us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. All of it. Being gentle, being self-controlled, it doesn't mean that you're a doormat. I mean, look at how Jesus handled opposition. Time after time, when Jesus was presented with situations where they came purposefully trying to catch him in a position where he was trapped. And if he said this, he'd be in trouble. If he said this, he'd be in trouble. What does Jesus do? Time after time after time after time, when it would have been so easy for him to just go and he'd Thanos them. And just, they would just be dust and he'd be done. He had that power, did he not? But every time he's presented with these, he confronts it with gentleness. Not weakness, but meekness. A controlled strength. He's not a doormat, but he doesn't assert dominance. He shares gentleness and really puts them in their place every time. Even in the situation where you see Jesus clearing the temple. And yet this is a situation where Jesus takes the initiative on his own. These other times I'm talking about are times when they come to him and try to trap him. And actually, I think those moments in my life are the more difficult times to be self-controlled and gentle, when all of a sudden a situation is right in your lap. And you have to make a decision, and sometimes we don't make the best decisions in that moment. But in the one time that we see Jesus and you say, well, Jesus wasn't really gentle when he cleared the temple. Him clearing the temple was not a response to them trying to trap him. Him clearing the temple was a response of his zeal. And if you think about what Jesus could have done, making a whip and driving people out, driving the animals out, turning the tables up, that was pretty gentle compared to what he could have done. It was definitely self-controlled. He designed a plan. He wanted to execute a plan to get a certain result, and he achieved that. So, and there were only a couple scenarios in all of the Gospels that capture this scene where you'd say, well, that's not as gentle as everything else. But you look at everything else across Jesus' life, and he exhibited meekness, gentleness, self-control. A weak person will struggle with gentleness. But a person with great inner strength will have a much easier time being gentle. A weak person will struggle with gentleness, but a person with great inner strength will have a much easier time of being gentle. Even in situations where it is difficult to be gentle. A selfish person will often lack self-control. Watch it, see it. You'll see it around you. A selfish person will often lack self-control, but a selfless person will have an inner strength that governs their actions. They'll have self-control. And that leads us to our behavior pattern associated with this beatitude. Let's write this down. Behavior pattern. Being fully conscious and intentional. Being fully conscious and intentional with my responses. They should be responses, not reactions. We respond. We don't react. The goal is to be proactive. But there are definitely times when you respond. You're in a situation and you might have mentally prepared for it, but it's still, when you mentally prepare for something and all of a sudden it's right there in front of you, that's when you respond and you don't react. And so to be meek, we have to develop this behavior pattern. It's not something that happens naturally. You have to work at it. You have to practice it. To be fully conscious and intentional with our responses. Read the Gospels. Look how Jesus does this time and time and time and time again. In order to be self-controlled and gentle, we must develop this behavior pattern where we're fully conscious of this and we're fully intentional. And this takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of concentration. It takes a lot of awareness. But that's what it takes to be meek, to be gentle and self-controlled in all situations. It means to be fully conscious and intentional with our responses to other people's actions. You guys remember King David? David's favorite story, David and Goliath, right? Well, after David kills this 9-foot giant Goliath with one smooth stone, yes, he had five. But he only needed one. He hit him first shot, dropped him, took his own sword, lopped his head off. After that happened, David was pretty popular among the people. That was a pretty amazing thing to do. When Saul and all of his soldiers were cowering, David pops in there. He's like, "Will no one stand up for the Lord?" And he goes out there with a sling and five stones. One shot, drops him. So David's starting to get more and more popular, and this really angers Saul, and because Saul's supposed to be the king. He's supposed to be the man. He's supposed to be the one in authority. He's supposed to be the one that's over all, and it's not going that way. And as David continues to have success after success after success, his popularity keeps growing and growing and growing, and Saul tries to kill him, not just once, multiple times. And to a point where Saul pursues David. You can read about this over chapter in 1 Samuel. Saul pursues David to kill him with the purpose of killing him. And David knows this is what's going on. I want you to remember, David just killed a 9-foot giant, a fully armed warrior. He wasn't running from Saul because he was scared of him. He was running from Saul because he knew if there was a confrontation, it wouldn't have been right for him to kill the king of Israel. That's not right. So his running, he wasn't being a coward. He was actually being meek. There was a time, kind of fun to teach this in junior church, you know, where Saul steps into a cave, and we're told point blank in Scripture, so don't think I'm just being, you know, a 12-year-old man standing up here. He goes in there to relieve himself. Now, if we're truly going to be 12-year-old, I'll start making some noises, but I'm not going to do that. But he goes in there to relieve himself. Well, it just so happens that the cave he chooses to go into, David and all of his men, they're tucked back in the back of the cave. And here comes Saul, and he's doing his business. And David sneaks up on him. Could have taken his life easily. And he cuts a piece of his robe off. Just as proof to show, I could have taken your life, but I didn't. That's self-control. That's gentleness. He gets his point across without doing anything that he shouldn't do. I think it's a great example of meekness. The meek will inherit the earth. You know, David knew that he was anointed, that he was God's chosen king to follow Saul. But he wasn't going to rush that. He wasn't going to make that happen in his time. Boy, how often do we do that, you know? And he had a perfect opportunity right there in the cave. And no one would blame him for it. Saul had just been an awful mess. But he doesn't. He waits. He's patient. He's gentle. He's self-controlled. And he waits on God's timing. Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That's the kingdom promise associated with this beatitude. Let's write that down. The meek will inherit the earth. That's our kingdom promise. Some would say that this is referring to the new earth that comes with the new heaven. And we just talked about that in our Revelation series at the beginning of the year. We're talking about the new heaven, the new earth, and how they're going to come down. And some say, well, this is a reference to the new earth. And so when you see in the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. And you see in the last one, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for they will inherit the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven. Sorry, different gospel. Matthew says kingdom of heaven. He calls it kingdom of heaven. Then some people say, well, this is just another description of those bookends that they will inherit the kingdom of earth. Or the kingdom of earth. They will inherit the earth. But Jesus' instructions to the disciples were for here and now. Right? When he says, not so with you. You're going to lead this way. You're going to be servants. He's not talking about when you get to heaven, when you get to eternity with God. That's now. That's part of the kingdom of heaven now. He brought the kingdom of heaven to earth. When Peter's talking to elders, he's not talking to elders once we get into eternity. He's talking to elders now. This is how you're going to serve. You're going to serve. You're going to lead by example. You're not going to lord it over them. So I believe it would be just as plausible, in my opinion, probably favorable, to understand this promise as a kingdom promise for here and now. That kingdom members that put others first, that kingdom members that are servant-minded and servant-hearted, that they will be the ones to rise to the top and be leaders in the kingdom of heaven as it exists here on earth. That they would be those who inherit the earth. In addition, this could easily be a reference to the evangelic success of people who cultivate this beatitude of meekness. That those who are meek, they're going to win more to the gospel of Christ. Because this kind of serving, loving, gentle, self-controlled, that opens doors for being able to share with people the gospel. You know, I don't know how many of these people down there in the front of Reds games or whatever, they're up on their soapbox and they're preaching. And you know, I want to ask them, how many people have you baptized as a result of this? And then you go to regular church people, say, how many people have you brought to the Lord through meekness? That the meek will inherit the earth. The meek will be instrumental in bringing more into the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Those who have this kingdom mindset, they come by it through a confidence in God that is so complete that it provides an inner strength of selflessness that is reflected by character traits of God's very spirit, character traits of gentleness and self-control, being fully conscious and intentional of all of their responses with the promise that they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for these powerful Beatitudes to challenge us, to shape us, to help us to be more like your kingdom members, what you see for your kingdom, how you have orchestrated your kingdom to function, to interact with others. Father, I ask that you help us to really take these Beatitudes seriously. We miss out on so many blessings when we don't live by these. And they are countercultural, for sure. They seem kind of upside down when we first hear them. But Father, when we understand them, then they seem right side up with your kingdom. Help us as your followers to behave in these ways, to take on these mindsets, to take on these character traits, to be assured that we will receive the promises given to each of these states of blessedness. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a tough one. I think especially for us, not us like you guys specifically, our church, but just as Americans, meekness is often looked at like Merriam-Webster would look at meekness, as a negative thing, as a weak thing, as a doormat. It's not the case at all. But since we live in a culture and a society where that's not lifted up, where we have tons of examples all around us that if you want to have influence, if you want to have if you want to gain authority, then you show dominance. Jesus says, not with you guys. No, you're going to lead by being a servant. You're going to lead by being gentle, by being self-controlled. And we see Jesus' life. We see his life as an example. And so this week is, I think it's a little more of a challenge for us. Because we can sit in here on a Sunday morning and say, you know what, it worked for Jesus. But I don't see how that's going to work for me on Monday when I'm back on the job site. I got to get on them guys, you know. Gentleness is not just being a pushover. It's using the correct amount of strength. Not more than you need, not less than what you need. Being meek means that we're so connected with God that we trust, we have a confidence in him. And it's an act of faith to live in meekness, especially when you're in a position of societal authority. Is that a word? Cultural authority or cultural power. To be able to say, you know what? This is countercultural. People aren't going to they're not going to listen to this. They're not going to follow me. Try it. I'm just saying, I believe in the word of God. I believe the power in there. And if you're going to be a kingdom follower, then try to walk like Jesus has asked us to walk. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. They're going to be the ones to rise. I believe that's an earth promise here, not a future promise. So let me challenge you. Just like we have this past week and the week before, I hope you guys are taking me up on these challenges to take this verse. And if you have, you've got the first two memorized already. And all you're doing is adding the third one. By the time you're done, you'll have all eight of them memorized. So this week, morning, lunch, dinner, before you go to bed, just quote it in your head. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. It's a very easy one to quote, very easy one to remember. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And I tell you, you do that four times a day, then maybe sometime around Thursday or something, a situation comes that would normally push your buttons, and you're like, you're feeling like Yosemite Sam, you know? And you're going to hear this verse echo in your head, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. You want to be successful like Jesus desires us to be successful? Try to take this and practice it. and see how that works out. See how that works out. Test God's word.